Realities explores the paranormal, preternatural, and supernatural worlds that surround us. Here we delve into those topics that challenge us to think outside the limitations of realism, where we test the boundaries of imagination and are forced to think outside the confines and restrictions of what is normal. We are the creators, the writers, the artists, and the insane. Welcome to our Weird Realities.
Happy Thursday, and I'm happy to say that the team is all back together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome back, Scott. Right. Welcome back, Alan.
Thank you.
And congratulations, Alan, on the new addition to the Gamboa clan.
Yeah, thank you. It's an awesome miracle for our family. Whitney was never supposed to be able to have a baby, and it's just a miracle. Yeah.
Well, good.
That's awesome.
We're all proud for you.
And he's going to be spoiled for the next 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. But thank you.
Well, I'm super excited. Last week, I was bouncing off the walls. I had all my notes. I was so prepared. I'd seen everything ahead of time. And now I can't find anything. So I'm going to wing it, as usual. So,
good.
Hello, Landa.
Hey, Landa.
Hi, Mona.
Hey, Mona.
Those are beautiful friends.
Yeah.
All right. So, Alan, I'm handing it off to you.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Tonight, we're going to do drive-in movies. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
I think most of us have been to the drive-in, especially people in our age bracket. And it was always a fun time. Your folks would go see something R-rated, throw you in the back seat, and say, don't look. And you'd be like, okay. Well, at least that was my folks. They'd take me to the Godfather. Yeah. Yeah. Shampoo with Warren Beatty, where this is a sex movie. My folks are kind of, I guess, you know, they thought I wouldn't look.
I saw or Star Wars looked, at the drive-in.
Did you really?
First time I saw it was at the drive-in, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. I saw Ghostbusters 2 at the drive-in. And Mad Max. Mad Max at the drive-in. Dubbed in English. Instead of the Australian, you know, because I thought we couldn't follow the Australian. Which is, if you can ever see the American dub version of Mad Max, check it out. So tonight we have drive-in fare. We have Twister. We have Southern Comfort. Mm-hmm. We have Death Race 2000, the original, with Stallone and David Carradine. And what's his name from Cobra Kai?
Yes.
Martin Covey,
I think.
Yeah. Martin Cove, and I can't remember who he. But anyway,
he played Nero the Hero.
Nero the Hero, yes. And also, we have Hadley's movie, which is a classic, Smokey and the Bandit, the original, the only Smokey and the Bandit. Not Smokey and the Bandit 2, Smokey and the Bandit 1. So, you guys, anyone have anything to add to this intro?
No, you killed it.
Well, you have Southern Comfort.
You should always do our intros.
Yeah.
Did you mention your movie, Southern
Comfort?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yes, I did. I believe I did. If I didn't, mine is
you did.
Southern Comfort. Okay. So tonight, let's start out with how about Rich? I saw that look on your face.
No, let me just pull over my notes. me. Excuse me. So I picked Twister, and my wife actually had a funny story about this because she saw Twister at the drive-in, and there's a scene when they're at the drive-in in the movie, and there's like there's a Twister coming through the drive-in. So she used to tell that story all the time. So with a screenplay written by Michael Crichton and being produced by Steven Spielberg, Twister was just destined for success. It was the second highest grossing film of its year with $495 million made at the box office. It was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. It was released in 1996, and the film stars Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt, Cary Elwes, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Alan Ruck, and Jamie Gertz. I mean, come on. Nifty cast, right? Twister, not shockingly, is a disaster film about tornadoes and crazy-ass tornado chasers. Two lovelorn tornado scientists reunite with when a series of Twisters starts hitting the Midwestern U.S. Bill, played by Bill Paxton, and Joe, played by Helen Hunt, formerly married, meet up to sign divorce papers, of all things, when Hunt tells Paxton that she has developed and constructed a tornado monitoring device that Paxton had envisioned years before. Not to be outdone, Cary Elwes, a former partner to Paxton and Hunt, develops his own device, but he's in it for the money, not the science. The film focuses on the chases and just how difficult and dangerous what they really do is. And it's nuts if you guys have ever seen any type of like real tornado chaser. Those guys are just, they are crazy. With groundbreaking special effects and a great screenplay and acting, the movie hits you in the feels when you see the devastation that even one of the smaller twisters has wrought. You know, it's just, it's nuts. A subplot is a love triangle between Bill, Joe, and Mel, played by Jamie Gertz. That quickly disintegrates as everybody realizes that Joe is still in love with Bill, and Bill is still in love with Joe, and you know what's going to happen. After Cary Elwes gets sucked up by an enormous twister, he and his truckload of dumbasses gets face-planted at 120 feet per second onto the highway. Just squished. Excuse me. Bill and Joe realize that the pack on the tornado machine is too light, and with no way to anchor it, drive Bill's new Dodge Ram into the twister. And that pissed me off because I have a Dodge Ram and I don't want to drive it into a twister. But the upside,
I'm a scientist.
Yeah, right. I am a scientist.
Science.
But the upside is that our heroes, they're able to send their little sciencey whirly gigs up into the tornado. But wait, there's more. The twister shifts its track and chases our heroes all over the Midwest, pretty much, destroying everything in its path until Bill has the bright idea to fight off an F5 tornado with a belt from his pants. He wins, and he and Joe get to see the inside of the tornado without getting dead, which was pretty cool. The film ends with Joe and Bill arguing like an old married couple, which, of course, they still are, about who's going to do what insofar as studying the tornado. There's a couple fun facts about the movie. Tom Hanks was supposed to play Bill, but he dropped out of the film to work on That Thing You Do. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that's actually a pretty good movie, too.
Yeah.
He was writer, director, and actor in that. And Hanks suggested to his buddy Spielberg that his friend from Apollo 13, Bill Paxton, play the lead. The Oklahoma City bombing put the film on hold, and there was there's a scene where Philip Seymour Hoffman leans back in his chair, and you can clearly see his junk. So it was edited out with CGI, and I guess that would cost a lot of money. They wanted to keep the scene, but they didn't want to, you know, keep his junk in the scene. So Paxton and Hunt were temporarily blinded during the filming by some crazy lighting, and both of them had to get hepatitis shots after that scene where they hid in the ditch from the tornado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was Wikipedia. Most of the movie was shot in the American Midwest, and the town of Wakita is a real town. I really enjoyed this movie. I've seen it. This is one of my wife and I, one of our favorites, and we would watch this, I don't know, once a year, every other year. Just absolutely loved it. What'd you guys think?
Well, I have a question real quick. What was playing at the drive-in when it happened?
Oh, I know this too. I don't remember. I just watched it the other day.
I will send you a signed book. First person that answers it correctly, I'll send them a signed book. My pick though, but signed book. First person out there, or one of you three. I will send them a signed
remember.
Book. Huh?
Go I on. Don't remember, and I know the minute somebody says it, then it'll like
it'll click stop. On.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love this movie.
It was
the special effects.
Wait a minute. It was a Stephen King movie.
Really good.
The Shining.
God damn it. It was The Shining.
Yes.
Wait.
Got your winner.
Wait a minute. Psycho was playing too.
It was a double feature.
Must have been a double feature.
But the film footage was of The Shining.
Was it?
Because it was right when he's saying Jack's back that like the film goes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, crazy. I'll have to send out some books. And Landig said The Shining right after you did, Scott, so that's at the same time on this thing. So, Landa, message me your address and all.
Tony says books. He almost married a tornado.
So. Could be good or bad.
I need to take a minute and to say that, yes, Weird Realities is on YouTube. If you just search for Weird with a Y Realities, it should pull up on our YouTube channel.
Cool.
Sorry. Station identification break.
What'd you guys think of Twister?
Loved it. The acting was good. Philip Seymour Hoffman didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
when this came out. You know, and then I was watching something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that dude was in Twister. He was the
Dusty.
You know, the kind of dude kind of guy. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And there, like you said, you read off the list of actors and a lot of character actors, and then Jamie Gertz, great. Helen Hunt, always liked her from that show she had with Paul Reiser. That's one of my favorite sitcoms back in the 90s.
Yeah, what the hell was the name of that?
Mad About You, I
think. Mad About You, thank you. Soundtrack, hey, Alan. Joined us.
Oh, yeah.
Soundtrack had Van Halen on it. First time I really, besides Better Off Dead, I heard a Van Halen song on the soundtrack.
Everybody Wants Some from Better Off Dead. Yeah.
Better Off Dead. Love that movie. Yeah. Great flick. Great pick. Yeah. This is one I'll watch every once in a while. And who, you know, when do you get to see a cow go flying?
Yeah. Oh, so about that, that was a CGI zebra that was stolen from Jumanji. It
really?
It was a zebra that they dressed up as a cow for the CGI cow, the zebra from Jumanji.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either until the other day.
Now,
what'd you guys think, Scott and Hadley?
I loved it. It is a great summer movie. I'm not a Helen Hunt fan, but I love Bill Paxton. I was devastated when he passed.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
It's fun. I enjoyed what. It's sad, but I enjoyed watching Carrie Elway's character die because I had an asshole polygrapher who looked exactly like Carrie Elway's, and I was having problems with him at the time. So when he gets thrown and explodes, it was just like, special effects are great. Great plot. The scene at the drive-in is terrifying. You know, when you can hear the storm and you hear the rumble and Bill Paxton is looking and then the lightning hits and you see the tornado closing.
It was really well done.
That is a fantastic scene. It's one of those movies you enjoy it. Do you know what it was nominated for Academy Awards? I'm assuming special effects.
Yeah, that I think sound editing or something like that, and then special effects. But it lost to I just read this the other day. I can't remember what it was. But it lost to two pretty decent movies.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved it. I enjoyed it. If it's on, if I'm clicking through the channels and it's on, I'll watch it.
Same. Mm-hmm. What about you, Hadley?
I feel like I'm kicking your puppy, Rich.
That's okay. That's okay.
This movie did not hold up for me.
Really?
I didn't know anything about storms other than, you know, how to take protective measures when it was made, so I couldn't pick through all the bad information in it. But the information is so bad and so wrong, and that's all I could hear when I was watching it. So, like I said, if you know about tornadoes, it doesn't hold up. So
there's always that one person in the group.
Well, I didn't
found that person.
Usually it's me.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah. There's no sorries. Yeah, we give our opinions.
It just doesn't. The science doesn't hold up. The science does not hold up for me.
Science.
Yeah.
So.
And now anybody can go to a storm chaser class.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Yeah. Taking a class and chasing a storm are two different things, though.
Yeah.
Well, I live in Mississippi. We have a lot of storms. So it's not a matter of chasing them. They usually chase you.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting a lot of love and comments there, Hadley.
I know. I feel like I kicked a puppy, guys. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Like I say, opinions, you know, everyone's got one.
Well, tonight I'm armed with a snark, so come bring it.
I'm going to wait to do my movie then. So what would we give this one? What's the rating, folks? Hadley?
I'll give it a 2.5.
Oh. Dang. Scott?
4.5. It's not a perfect movie, but it is a fun movie.
Mr. Ristucci. Professor Ristucci.
I'm going to give it a 4.25 just because I really like a lot about this film, especially the special effects. You, in the 80s, in the 70s and 80s, you had ridiculous amounts of crazy disaster movies. And this just worked for me.
Yeah, I'd give it a 4.5. Like Scott, I really loved the way they made the tornadoes like monsters. You know, it had a roar and it was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like Scott said, okay, the lightning in the background.
I'm gonna have to say it. Okay, this is me bringing out the sun. So at the time this was made, they did not have these types of tornadoes. So it was a big deal to see. But now we have increasing patterns where we are seeing more F4s and F5s than ever before. So when you have stuff like that going on, it is a direct opposition to what the movie's saying about the storms. Now, in what year was this made? 97?
96.
96. They did not have the storm technology that they do now. But now, I mean, like, they can plot out, like, on our storm systems when we have tornadoes, it can look down to, like, what streets it's going to be on. So, at the time, yes, it was great. But now, like I said, we've outgrown the technology of that time. So, it makes the movie not as valuable. You know? So, I'm sorry.
And that was a public service.
But
it's not a documentary. It's a
no.
It's an action movie.
I mean,
all views are our own.
I'm sorry. Let me kick the puppy. Kick the puppy.
That's like panning a porno movie because it doesn't practice safe sex.
But it's the whole premise of their stuff is just outdated, and they even like trying to science stuff up. They didn't use a lot of the correct words. I mean, it's just
it was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm science, sorry. I've got more saved up.
That's why I'm gonna do my laugh. You scared me.
Not before.
Hey, let's do Hadley's. Let's do Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, let's do
it. Oh, you're going to throw me under the bus now, Alan.
Yes.
Throw me under
the Trans Am.
You can't throw Smokey and the Bandit under the bus.
No.
Okay, so my movie was Smokey and the Bandit, which is an all-time classic for me.
Hey, David.
I love it. It stars Burt Reynolds, Jackie Gleason, what's her name? Sally Field, and Jerry Reed, and a dog named Flash. And it is just, I don't know that they would make it now, but it was at the time, it was such a classic. I think in some parts of the South, it's probably considered mandatory to watch Smokey and the Bandit.
In the North, too.
But okay, so it starts off with our main character, played by Burt Reynolds, who is the bandit, and he's at this like truck rodeo. And the truck rodeo is, he's just, I mean, I don't really know what a truck rodeo is, but he's sitting there in his hammock, being all Burt Reynolds with feet kicked back and his little hat down. And here comes Big Enos and Little Enos, a father and son duo, who the dad is like 9 foot tall and the son's like 6 inches off the ground. Anyway, they're dressed exactly alike in these like cowboy leisure suits and these hats. The best scene in the whole movie is when Burt Reynolds takes off his hat, looks at him, and he just falls out laughing.
Yeah.
And that's it. They want him to drive to Texarkana, Texas, to pick up a truck full of Coors beer, which you could not get. Were they in Atlanta at the time? I can't remember.
Yeah, I forgot.
Wherever they originated from, you could not get the Coors beer there, which, by the way, was true. Hey, Jen.
Hey, we have Mike Lewis.
Hey,
Mike. And David Reed, Eastbound and Down's on the playlist. David, I know it.
Yeah.
So, he goes, gets Jerry Reed, his partner in crime, who, by the way, originally Jerry Reed was supposed to play the bandit in this, which I did not know.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the guy who wrote it was like a big-time Hollywood stuntman.
Hal Needham, yeah.
Yeah, and he was living with Burt Reynolds at the time. So when Burt Reynolds read the script, he was all like, I want to make this. And so that changed everything.
That's, Hadley, just to interrupt you a minute, that's the Brad Pitt character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is based off Hal Needham and Burt Reynolds' friendship. Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay, we'll revisit this conversation.
Keep going.
Okay, I've got a David Reed is friends with Tully, and I have to say, Tully did not know that Texarkana was a real place. I'm sorry, that was my trivia there. I've got to go back. But yeah, so they go, and the whole idea is that the bandit's going to get this car, and it's kind of like going to run interference so they can make it back, because the bet is they're going to make it within, what, 48 hours round trip?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Something like that. It was a few days. No, yeah.
People, they're gone, and it's just been a week. Anyway, so it's all about them. Well, they stop. This woman in a bridal gown waves down the bandit. She gets in the car, and that's Sally Field. And from there on, we get to watch Sally Field and Burt Reynolds fall in love, because this is when their romance started, which, if you are a child of the 70s and 80s, you know it was an iconic love affair.
Oh, yeah.
So, it is great. I found out, doing my research, that Jackie Gleason had no lines. Every line he uttered in this film was ad-libbed.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Oh,
doesn't surprise me. He's a
that
genius.
Some of the colorful phrases that he uses are actually borrowed from Burt Reynolds' real father, who was a chief of police in Florida.
Really?
And there's one in particular, the some, you know what?
Yeah.
That was what he said. And
you can say
being
it.
Being a Southerner, that is something people say around here. And it's a great movie. It is not something that is going to win Academy Awards. And it did put the Trans Am on the, you know, the fast pace to number one car in America at that time. Right. And it is hysterical. You can't watch this movie. And I mean, first off, within the first 10 minutes, everybody that would be offended by it's already offended. Because it is an equal opportunity offensive show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tony got the stats for us, Hadley. 28-hour round trip, 1,800 miles, and 400 cases of Coors.
And yes, Jennifer, has been.
I have not unleashed the snark yet. I was just being a scientific.
We're changing her name to Snarky Thorn.
Yes. Snarky McSnarkerson, that's me. Anyway, so this is a great movie. This, like I said, it's if you're looking for, I don't even know what to call it. It is just basically a chase movie. And the chase is this Texas Mountie, played by Jackie Gleason, following the bandit who has not only offended him, but has kidnapped his, you know, or I guess absconded with the wife of his son. And y'all, I would totally do a viewing of this movie just to hear y'all talk about it while we go through it. I love it. It's not perfect cinema, but it is a lot of fun. So if you're looking for something to kick back with your friends, sit around, giggle, and have a good time, this is the movie. Yeah. I don't know that anybody could watch it and not like it.
I love this movie. This is a movie I used to watch with my dad all the time because he loved this movie. My favorite character in the movie, I mean, barring, you know, all of the perfect characters, is the groom, Jackie Gleason's son. He's such a dumbass. He just played that part so well. And Frog, the girl he's chasing, yeah. Sally Field, also nailed it. Burt Reynolds nailed it. Jackie Gleason was perfect. Jerry Reed, it's just everything about this movie. The stunts are great. The high speed chases are great. The way the cops act, I love this movie. And like I said, it hits me here because it's a movie I used to watch with my dad all the time because he loved it too.
Well, it was definitely a time when CBs and beer were big in America.
Oh yeah.
I remember my folks took me out. I was 14, I think, and I just laughed my ass off. So then I was able to go see it like 3 more times while I was out. You know, movies used to be out for a longer time back then. But I love that movie. It was just so much fun. Yeah. It was just a good time. Burt Reynolds was at his snarkiest best.
Yeah.
You know, because he had that laugh and he had that smirk. Yeah. You know,
he was a sex symbol.
Yeah.
He was a sex symbol at the time.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going there. Was it Cosmo? He did the centerfold of Cosmo.
Yeah. Hey, Craig Boland joined us. Yeah, but those are different kind of. I got a driving story, but I don't know if I can tell it. I'll tell this driving story real quick, okay? Just
okay.
We were 17 in high school. There's like five of us. And they out in Davis, because I lived in Sacramento at the time, or Rio Linda at the time, which is by Sac, they had a porno theater right off the highway. So if you're driving, you could get a quick glimpse of some skin, right? So we loaded up my buddy's Ford Falcon station wagon, and we went in there. And the only guy the only one 18 was the guy driving. And we pull up, and the guy's like, okay, hey, you guys all 18, you know? And we could have said, yeah. But we were dumbasses, and we said no. And he said, well, you can't come in. So, you know, here's four or five guys going to a porno movie to drive in. I mean, that probably didn't look good anyway.
Yeah.
But the good thing that came out of that is we ended up going to the regular, the 49er drive-in, and I got to see a Mad Max at the drive-in.
Oh, cool.
Bam.
Okay. I had two male friends who went to the local porno drive-in in Massachusetts, and they're sitting there watching. And one of them was looking around, and it's like, "Holy shit, we're the only two guys here."
Wait, what?
They had to roll down the window, and each had to sit with their arm out the window, so people were
fooling around. I mean, and you know, if you go to a porno theater with your buddy, I mean, come on, you know, are you gonna sit next to each other?
Speaks volumes. I guess. No. What are you gonna do? Because
yeah,
it's a little
uncomfortable, I mean, there.
Yeah.
So
you don't mind, Bob. You don't mind.
Fred,
you?
The no, I don't. He said, "Don't forget Fred." No, and I have to tell y'all legend. That in my research, I found out that there was a contest for what dog was going to be in the movie. And so this was in Atlanta, and they said that all of the shelters immediately had no pets because all these women had gone to adopt these dogs because Burt Reynolds was going to pick the dog. Oh. And actually, Fred was the dog that they picked. So, or Flash. That was how they got him. He was handpicked by Burt Reynolds.
So. They didn't have money to train. They didn't have money for a dog trainer or a dog. So that's why they did that.
Yeah, and there is a great documentary about the making of this film for anyone who wants to learn all this tidbits of funny stuff that I learned.
So, it's really short. It's 20 minutes in on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
It's really short. It's got some great. Burt Reynolds was supposed to get a Trans Am for life. The president of the car company that time said, "We're giving you a Trans Am, you know, for life of you, whatever." And he kept waiting. Never got it. Well, the president that said that had passed away, and the new president's like, "We're not giving you a car." Because what was the percentage it went up, Hallie? Do you remember?
Like 400%.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, of course, you all know that. You know, it was huge.
Yeah.
So he ended up buying his own down the road. That's kind of cheap.
He could afford it.
Yeah, he could.
I like that, Tony.
That's hilarious, Tony. Tony took Gordon. His whole family to see Flash Gordon at the drive-in, only to discover it was actually Flesh Gordon.
I've never seen that movie.
Now
Googling now.
It
used to be on Skinamax.
Yeah. Skinamax. Oh, you know that.
Shout out to Stockton, Mike Lewis. They were neighbors. So what do you think, Scott?
Was one question. It was Jerry Reed's dog was a basset hound named Fred, right?
Yep.
Oh my God, we're getting a basset hound in October, and we've already named it Fred.
Wow. Nice.
I guess I'm going to have to get a cowboy hat now and drive around with him.
Get you a Trans Am, Bandit. Yeah,
Trans Am. There you go.
Oh no, that would just scream midlife crisis.
So, what do you think, Scott?
This movie is a perfectly fun movie. To me, the best part was Jackie Gleason. Yeah. I grew up with the Honeymooners, the Jackie Gleason show, you know, and then I'm sitting there, you know, and he gets out of the car and starts, you know, "You son of a bitch, there's no way that you could come from my loins. First thing I'm going to do when I get home is punch your mama in the mouth."
Yeah, that's it.
It was a riot. Just the way he acted, he was the stereotypical quintessential Southern sheriff.
Yeah.
And he really is.
And he just made the movie. And like Rich said, his son was such a moron. They played off perfectly together. But the
he's a stuntman.
Although the son?
Yeah, he was a stuntman, and he played Tarzan in either movies or a series. His name is Mike Henry. But he always played a bad guy and stuff.
But the best
is that the son?
Yeah.
So that role was actually something that Gleason insisted on them having. He said that he couldn't just sit in the car alone. So that's when they created that character for him.
Oh,
genius.
Giving someone to play off of.
But to me, the best part was we went to see it at a small little cinema. My whole family were on vacation in Maine. I was, oh God, probably about 20. And my mother was so offended that Jackie Gleason was swearing through the whole movie. Every time he swore, my mother was like, oh. So I was laughing at the movie and I was laughing at my mother. But I loved it. It's a little outdated, especially the Daisy Dukes and all that. But still, you can enjoy it no matter, even if it's what? That's about 40 years old now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no, like, I loved it. It was a perfect pick for tonight.
Like it, like Tony said, we wouldn't have had Cannonball Run if we didn't have this and Booper and the other two Smoking the Bandit movies, you know.
Or the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. The Dukes of Hazzard.
Y'all would not have got to grow up with Daisy Duke. So thank you, Burt Reynolds. And the boys everywhere say a prayer. Bless you, Burt Reynolds.
Hey, that song was written like overnight within hours.
Yeah, Jerry Reed. Yeah.
And that's a perfect
song. I'd heard that. It is. It's great.
And Sally Field, a lot of her lines was ad-libbed.
And you know that Burt Reynolds had a fight for Sally Field to be in this movie.
Really?
They didn't think she was sexy enough. And Burt Reynolds told them that talent is sexy.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing I liked.
Then he traded her in for Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, right? I think she got rid of him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What was that, Scott, about?
Well, that was one of the things I loved about her. She wasn't a sex symbol. She was a pretty girl. I mean,
she was cute.
Yeah, she's cute, but you know, she wasn't a Lonnie Anderson or that. So. Oh, you pissed off Jennifer Hadley.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Read the last comment.
I see it. I'm not. Miss Jennifer is an amazing friend, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, there we go. Greg Bolin, talent is sexy. What can I say? I'm going to get you back, Greg. I know where you hang out. Yeah, Tony, she was a flying nun.
Flying nun, right?
Yes. God, but I can't believe I watched that as a kid. That was so boring.
God, man, so long ago.
Oh, yeah. Damn. So was Burt Reynolds Forrest Gump's father? I don't remember.
No.
There, Jennifer, I'm your new best friend.
Edibles.
And then Mike Lewis says he has a Burt Reynolds autograph that he signed live. It's a picture of him sitting in the Trans Am with his cowboy hat talking on CB radio.
Did you get that?
That's like gold now.
Did you get that at Spooky Empire, Mike? I was at a Spooky Empire once and he was doing that exact same thing. Thank you, Jay. So what do we rate this?
Hadley? Ladies first.
I think that I have to give it a 5.
Yes.
It's not a 5 quality. Like it's a different rating 5. I can't give it any less because it is such a good movie. I enjoy it and I'll watch it every time I find it. So, but I mean, obviously it's no Hobo with a Shotgun and no Snatch, but no, I do have to give it a 5. I can't. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to be snarky about y'all's movies tonight, but my movie kind of rocked.
I agree with you, Hadley. It's a 5. It for the type of movie it is, it's the perfect movie.
Well said, God.
I would give it a 5 on nostalgia alone, because, like, yeah. I said, I used to watch this movie with my dad all the time. But it also gets a high rating because of what it was. I saw this last weekend, and it still made me laugh. So it holds up for funny, you know? And some of the stuff is just stupid, and you know it's coming, and you laugh anyway. I'm giving it a 5, too.
Yeah. I will give it a 5. I love this movie. It's friggin' hilarious.
Keep the evidence in the car, son. You know,
perfect of evil.
Shut the door in the back.
Yeah. I love it. It was fun, and it opened the door on a lot of movies.
Yeah, a lot of good,
fun time movies. So, good choice, Hadley. Good choice.
Well, I'm glad y'all enjoyed it, because I was kind of thinking they're going to think I'm stupid, but
nope,
no,
I loved it.
No, yeah, classic. Joe, we are still on. Joe, we're still on.
We do this sometimes.
Welcome,
Joe.
It's no snatch. Snarky good time. Alan Lasser, how about History of the World Mel Brooks film? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's you could good never to make king. That today.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh God, I know.
Speaking of Blazing Saddles, let's do Scott's movie, Death Race 2000.
Death Race 2000 is classically bad. It was produced by Roger Corman. That's probably all I have to say about it.
Yep.
I think it was made in 1975, and the story is set in the future. It's the year 2000, which is no longer the future. It's a dystopian society, social turmoil. The president is this religious nut who lives in China and lives in Russia half the year, and he goes on and he preaches to the masses. And what always reminded me of the Hunger Games, except a really, really poor version of it, it's a bread and circus. Every year they have the death race. And that is where they get 5 drivers. They drive cross country. And the idea is who gets to California first. It's how many bodies you kill. There's a point system. It's like 40 points for old people, 20 points for a middle age and younger people, 10 points for kids, and you just rack up the scores. And for this one, there are 5 drivers. There is the Roman gladiator Nero the hero, played by Kabe, who becomes
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, Martin Cove.
Yes. There is Matilda the Hun, the neo-Nazi, and with her partner Herman the German. Did anybody catch who Herman the German was?
No.
Who was Fred Grandy, gopher from the Love Boat.
From the Love Boat.
Right.
Yeah. There was the beautiful cowgirl, Calamity Jane, the Chicago thug, Machine Gun Joe. It was Sylvester Stallone, and it was his first major role, and he hates this movie. And then there's the cult classic. Everybody loves him. David Carradine as Frankenstein, the driver who's won almost every race, who's in an accident, who's been reconstructed so many times. He's put together. He's the fan favorite. And they start the race. They go across country, and at that point, it just becomes absurdly fun. I mean, what my favorite scene is, all of these doctors and nurses.
Same.
Yes. Take all the elderly people, and they put them on the road in wheelchairs, and all the elderly are sitting there like, I'm going to die for my country. And Frankenstein comes down the road, switches onto the sidewalk, runs over all the doctors and nurses, and then cuts back in. What you find out is there's also a group of revolutionaries who are trying to stop the race. They're trying to capture Frankenstein. And who cares if I give away the ending? You find out that the idea is they want to assassinate the president because the president is a puppet. And Frankenstein is in on it. So the ending gets a little bit political, which kind of ruins the rest of the movie, but the whole movie itself, the whole race, the way they kill people is just a riot. It was cheaply made, $300,000. At the time, the only person who was of notable status in it was David Carradine.
Yep.
He just came off 3 years of Kung Fu, and he was terrified that if he didn't make any type of movie quickly, he'd fade into history. So he grabbed this one. And everyone else, I looked up the actors, every one of them was at the time and still is a B-grade actor. They have tons of television and movies to their credits, but they're the type of people, except for like Fred Grandy and the other guy, never really made it that big afterwards. It's fun. It's stupid. It's a political statement. There's so many parodies in the movie itself. The original script was written by Ib Nelqua. You probably don't recognize the name. He did a lot of movies in the 60s and 70s. He wrote the original script for Reptilicus and some others. They didn't like it. It was too dark. It was too intense. So they turned around. They hired a couple of other screenwriters to sort of fun it up a bit. And they went ahead and made the movie. So what do you guys think?
There's a remake of this movie with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a couple times. It's okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the original. It's like Scott said, it's not a great movie. It's not going to win any awards. There's a lot of stupidity in it.
Yeah.
But just some of the things they come out with, some of Sylvester Stallone's lines are just so over the top, stupid and ridiculous that you just gotta laugh at them. And you took it away from me, Scott. But that scene with the hospital with the patients was—it's the best scene in the whole movie because you just—you're like, I can't believe he's gonna do this. And then he just nails the doctors, and I was like, that was great. But I really do enjoy this movie. Not going to win any awards, but if you haven't seen it, you probably should. It's just, it's that type of movie where it's worth seeing.
Yeah. It's a cult classic.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that when you were a teenager or in middle school, whatever, was always playing at the drive-in, those type of movies.
Yeah.
You know, it was a softcore type of movie with a lot of blood and guts in it. Silly. I remember when I was a teenager and this movie came out, I think like a year later, they came out with a Death Race video game. And, you know, the graphics back then were, you know, just above Atari, but you'd have your car and you'd run over people. And when you ran over people for points, they'd become a
Stalker. Yeah. S-T-O-C-K-E-R.
Oh, this one was called Death Race.
It was I remember.
It's probably the same. Well, probably the same one, but they marketed it over on your coast like that, you know. But it was Death Race. That was like, Death Race, cool.
And yeah, I'm looking at my notes. There was a Death Race. It was marketed by Exidy.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, it's a fun movie. It's a drive-in movie, definitely.
Yeah.
It was a Roger Corman movie for sure.
Yeah.
And I think David Carradine made a couple of other, like he made one where there's a race like in the jungle or something after that. Oh. And one on, I think he made a Mad Max type of movie where he's a warrior on a motorcycle and stuff. So that kind of opened up his career to those movies, you know, and he sure went out differently than he thought he was going to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's weird.
Yeah.
You do you, right?
Right.
Literally.
They'll remember his death forever.
Yeah. And they won't remember Kung Fu.
No.
They'll remember that.
Well, wasn't this the movie that he made to kind of separate himself from Kung Fu?
Yeah, he needed to make this movie to keep going because he was going to peter out because he didn't have anything. Nobody was talking to him after Kung Fu.
And it's funny because he comes from a big acting family.
Oh, yeah.
All of his family. His dad had the horrible arthritis in his hands.
Yeah.
I can't remember. What was his dad's first name?
John.
I can't remember. John.
Yeah, he did all those Universal horror movies.
Right. Yeah. He was in The Howling.
Oh, yeah.
John Carradine?
He's in The Howling. Yeah.
That's right. He's one of the people at the Wolf Farm.
Yep.
It's sad because he was such an instrumental figure in early horror movies.
Yes.
And then you see him, he got into some really horrible movies, probably to pay the bills, I imagine. But yeah, just some horrible movies, you know, that you just see this legendary icon of horror, you know, especially if you're a Universal fan. And then he's making like Hillbilly Asteroid or something like that, you know, something something horrible. Nothing against hillbillies that we got any out there.
Never heard of that, but I am sure going to write something about it. Hillbilly Asteroid. I'm writing that.
You did Westerns too. That's true, Joe.
Well, look what happened to poor Lon Chaney Jr. You know, I mean, I saw, you know, he like did that pathetic role in Spider Baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at Bela Lugosi, Plan 9 from Outer Space. You know, that's horrible. Hey, I want to take a minute to say hi to David Muga.
David.
I didn't see him. There he is.
And D.A. Roberts. D.A. Roberts, too.
D.A. is here as well.
And Big Joe Hansen.
Damn.
We have Tony I.
Places hopping.
Yeah.
Vampire Planet, Space Vampires. Yeah. Those are made definitely for the money. What do you think of this movie, Hadley?
I just don't have much to say about this movie. once was enough for me to watch it. I watched it. It had some, I mean, I think that it should be watched just so you can talk about how bad it is for other people. And like Alan's movie, it's got an alligator and a carotene.
True.
But yeah, I guess I think everybody should watch it. It's got some stuff that you'll never see probably again.
Yeah.
And definitely. I don't think anybody's missing. Is it? It's a Roger Corman movie, right?
Yeah.
Produced by, not directed.
Okay. So you know there's some boobs in it.
A lot of TNA.
That's why it's a drive-in movie.
Jesus. I'm saving the snark for Alan, I've promised.
Oh, no. All right. I love when people keep their promises. So what would we give this movie then? Ladies first?
I'll go for a 2.
Rich?
This is not a good movie. That said, I do occasionally watch parts of it again. I'm going to give it a 2.5 just because I enjoy some of it. I like the premise.
It does have boobs. Legs, so yeah, watch it.
That's boobs what I gave butts. 1 point for each one.
Scott, what would you give this?
I would give this one a 3. It's fun. It's stupid. The acting is horrendous. You know, to sit there and see Stallone do this movie and then think he won an Academy Award a few years later for Rocky.
Right? I'd like to thank Roger Corman and Nero the Hero for this
movie.
Cove.
Yeah. I'll give it a 3-2 because it was made to be dumb, to be, you know, an exploitation film for these types of. So I give it a 3.
Yeah.
Definitely.
IMDb actually lists it as a car-sploitation movie. Never heard that one before.
Never hear it again.
Okay. This is when there's something wrong with somebody. Craig Bolin says, were they good boobs? Craig, aren't any good, any boobs that you have access to, aren't those good? Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, so do we have any more to talk about on this one?
No.
No. All right.
Jen Sammons is calling me out.
You're trying to be true.
And she's failing.
She says apparently boobs are all or what did I can't read it.
Okay, the comment section's getting bad.
Have you seen Joe's? Yeah. Actually, I've been up next to Joe's boobs. Ask Joe about that. Actually, anyway, let's get out of the boob talk, I guess. And I'm sorry. And my movie was Southern Comfort. I love this movie.
Yeah.
It's about 9 Louisiana, not Texas, Louisiana National Guardsmen that get lost
in the swamps. And it, this wasn't filmed in Louisiana. It was filmed in Texas, I believe. But they get lost in the swamp in Louisiana. They steal these trapper hunters' boats, these Cajun guys. And then they're carrying blanks on this. It's a, some kind of patrol they're on, like a mapping thing. They're trying to do some kind of directional training. And so they all, they're all carrying M16s, and they got an M60 with them, but it's all I can't read the comments.
For those people who are listening, our live chat is they have a real good time, and they say a lot of inappropriate things. So it when you hear us giggle, it's usually because they've said something we can't say on the radio.
There's like about 10 comments in the row with the word boobs in them. Sorry.
Yeah.
The movie, Mona, is Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort. So they're on this patrol, and they don't have any live ammo. They have blanks. And there's really not – they're kind of assholes, these guardsmen. Anyway, they steal these canoes, or pierogies, what they call them. The hunters come back.
Hero.
They see them.
It's a piro.
It's a piro. Is it? That's, oh, I'm sorry. I said the sandwich, huh?
A Russian potato dish. I wasn't going to say anything.
Anyway. We get through this. Oh, Craig, showing off with your French. Thank you.
Listen.
Anyway, the hunters come to get their boats, and one of the guys is a smart ass, and he opens up on them with the M60, and it's got blanks, but they think they're getting shot at. They don't know they're blanks. So they return fire and they kill the sergeant that's leading the patrol. And Peter then Coyote. These guys just go Peter Coyote, great actor. And so these guys go crazy. The patrol freaks out. They're running for their lives, and these Cajuns are hunting them. Keith Carradine and Powers Booth are the two main actors in this, and they do a great job. Yeah. Powers Booth, classic. Keith Carradine, I love whatever he's in. He's really good, especially in Westerns. So they're hunted by these guys, and it's their survival. And it's just, it's a good movie. It's a little dated. Some of the dialogue's a little bit, you know, 1980s. But it's a good movie to watch. If you want to see a suspenseful action movie, this one is it. And bam, I'll throw it to you, whoever wants to catch it.
I'll take it. Fred Ward is in this movie. Oh, yeah. C.K. Carter. Two other decent actors. I saw this a few times when I was younger, and I really liked it. But this time, it just kind of fell flat for me. I was watching it, and I'm like, you know, it's got some good ideas, but I just, these guys, they're National Guard, so they're not regular Army, and they're weekend warriors, but they must have had some kind of military training to be in the National Guard. I get that the Guard isn't the Army. I get that, and I'm not slandering the Guard at all. Those guys are heroes too.
Yeah,
but these guys were just idiots. Like, all of them were just stupid. They did everything wrong. Everything you could do wrong, they did wrong. I mean, sun rises in the east. If the sun rises in the east, you can figure out which way is
north. I'm going to let the grown-ups talk hard. Before I say anything. But just know I'm sitting here nodding my head. Yes, Rick, go. You just tell them. But
I thought that was a reference to boobs, Joe.
The worst part about this movie this time was that it was just really slow for me. I was looking for a lot of action, and basically it's just a bunch of guys trudging through the swamp, and they are being hunted by these rednecks, but you don't really know what's going on at the beginning. Of course you do know what's going on, but the rednecks don't really come into it too much. But once they're there, and you know, there's right. bullets flying and, you know, bad guys. But what really sealed the deal for me was the end of this movie. Where they come to this Cajun town. It's like this little bumpkin town, and they're all having a good time, and they're, you know, they're skinning rabbits and cooking hogs and playing on their music. And at the very, well, I don't want to, I guess, wreck it for anybody, but it is an older movie.
Yeah, you go ahead.
At the very end of it, these trucks pull in and the helicopter pulls in, and it's like the Cajuns have killed the entire, this is what my take anyway, the entire National Guard platoon or the whole, what do you call it, a regiment, a National Guard regiment? I don't know what it's called in a National Guard. A big bunch of National Guard guys, and they have all their equipment. So it leads me to believe that they killed them all. You know, this little bumpkin redneck town, and I was having a hard time believing that, too.
See, I never got that. See, I got it. They were finally getting picked up. And that's why the ending on this, to me, kind of falls flat. I'll use that word. Yeah, because it's like, you know, you see the helicopter and then you see the truck pull up and the guy's in the guard uniform, the driver.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, too. And I was like, well, did these rednecks kill everybody and take all their stuff?
I think they made it. Because
they pulled right in there.
And I think they just made it out, you know.
But it ended. What if they made it in there, why didn't Powers Booth and Keith Carradine get on the damn truck?
Because I think they really didn't have an ending for it. You know,
maybe.
This time get rescued, you know, and you know, what are you doing to my movie, man?
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry.
I hadn't even started.
It was a great movie when I saw it a few years ago, but it just didn't hold up for me this time. And I was excited to see it. I was like, oh, I haven't seen that. Because I was talking to Hadley last week, and I was like, I didn't watch it because I didn't watch it for last week's. And then I did. I watched it today, and I was like, oh, man, this is just – it's not what I remembered. But it wasn't terrible. It just – it wasn't what I remembered. So that's what I mean when I said it fell flat for me. I didn't hate it.
No.
Anyway, I've said enough. I talked too long. You guys.
Well, what I didn't like is the characters in it, except for, well, the acting. Because the characters weren't likable.
No.
No. Well, I don't think they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
They were all assholes.
Except the Texan guy, Powers Booth.
Yeah, Powers Booth.
Powers Booth and Peter Coyote.
Yeah. Yeah. Powers Booth had some issues.
This was the first time I've ever seen the movie. And I liked it. I was kind of surprised because I was going into it thinking it was going to be like Deliverance, right. You know, where these guys are going to just be, oh, you know, squeal like a pig. Hey there, Cap. They deserved everything they got. You know, that asshole that fired the gun at them, you know, Peter Coyote was pulling it together.
Yeah.
I don't think the unit itself was stupid. I just don't think they were. They were. They were your stereotypical God unit. But that, to me, that was the whole point of it. Peter Coyote died. He's the one that could have led the whole. If he had been able to keep control of the unit, this movie never would have happened. The next smartest one was Powers Booth. He had no say in the matter. He wasn't in charge. It was some idiot guy who took over command. Boy, 23 years in the government, I've never seen that. And it all went downhill from there. You know, and then when they capture the one-armed Cajun guy, they brutalize him. They torture him. They beat him up. It was just like reinforcing the fact that, you know, none of you are going to, except for Powers Booth, should get out of the swamp alive. And that was the one scene I really liked, was when the one-armed Cajun saw Powers Booth, he let him go. As if they're like, you're decent. Go. It was entertaining. I don't think I'd ever watch it again. Probably could have been done better, but it wasn't meant to be done better. I liked it. The stars were the bad guys, except for Peter Coyote. And am I saying Booth Powers or Powers Booth?
Powers Booth.
Powers Booth. Yeah. It was worth watching once. I'm glad you picked it, but I'm not going to watch it again. And now.
First off, I would like to say no Cajuns were harmed in the making of this movie. Having said that, on behalf of the South, I was offended. Louisiana in particular. As y'all know, I have got family and friends in Louisiana, and my dad grew up there. this could not have happened in Louisiana because, and I did the research, Alan, 1971 was when this was supposed to take place. This was, oh, was during really? Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Number one, there's no one in the National Guard who would not have been trained.
Yeah.
Number two, there was no male over the age of probably 9 in Louisiana that did not know his way around a firearm or the woods, because Louisiana, the main, like the big city is New Orleans. And on top of that, I have to say, everybody knows you don't fuck with the Cajuns. I know that. I live in Mississippi. You just don't do it. Those people, they like put alligators in the baby crib with the babies. You know, they tough. They're some tough people down there.
Did you say they tough?
They tough, man.
What's that? Is that the South coming out?
I thought about
getting
some people to come on here to share my thoughts on this, but I wouldn't do that. But no, this could not have happened. And that's what I couldn't get past. This would not have happened. Again, everybody would know how to get out of the woods. I had a better chance of getting out of the woods than those guys did. It would have made more sense if you were actually dealing with like a bunch of green people that were being trained to go to Vietnam or something from the north that were put out down there and didn't know better. But these guys would have known better. That's what didn't make sense to me. So I couldn't get behind it because of that. Also, the Cajun accents were terrible. I don't know what they were speaking. It was not Cajun. It was nowhere near Cajun. And Starkhan potty mouth. Yes, I am.
Did Jordan Peele pay you tonight to...
I'm sorry.
No, anyway. We love you that way.
Anyway, so yeah, it was a good movie, and I remember seeing it when I was young, and I didn't know better. And if you didn't know better, you could enjoy it. But once you start like thinking, okay, this is there, and Peter Coyote was a decorated Vietnam veteran. Because they mentioned that in the course of it. So, you know, those other guys had either, you know, served or, you know, which I don't know how it works. But now, you know, a lot of times the southern states actually send their guard overseas for deployments. I don't know what was like during Vietnam, though. I guess I'll just be quiet. I'm not feeling the love tonight.
Can I speak English? Bah, 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 bah.
Jennifer, you need to send us some edibles.
I was going to say, how many of these movies took place in the South tonight? Just on chance. Three of them? Three of them take place?
Two of them at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess we treaded on
Oklahoma
your home
for Twister,
on your territory.
We don't claim Oklahoma as being
part of the South.
Southern, but I think they claim them as being Southern. But
you're territorial tonight, Hadley. That's what you are.
Well, I mean, I've met people who are real Cajuns, and you know, like I said, they're different.
Craig, is Craig Boland? Are you Cajun at all, or are you just around that?
Come on,
talking about
Craig.
Cajun makes
represent.
Joe hungry. So, okay, one thing out of this. You said this was the basis for Aliens?
I did find that in my research, and I could see that when I watched it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting. And, I mean, at the time, it was a very well-liked movie. And like I said, it's just people in Louisiana probably were not included in that.
Oh, yeah. It didn't make a dime. This movie did not make its money back.
South Carolina is very southern. Yes.
Cool.
But
so they didn't make any money on this movie, but like you said, it did open the door for Aliens.
Yes, and that was where they got the idea for the Space Marines in Aliens. So
you could see that.
So I can't see that at all.
They're out of their element.
Morons, and that's the only tie-in at all.
Well, you take away the moron part, and these guys are out of their element. That, you know, like they were on Aliens, they were out of their element.
No, but it was reversed because Peter Coyote knew what he was doing. He was the smart one leading a bunch of fuck-ups. In Aliens, it was a trained group of space marines being led by the lieutenant, you know, who was a complete moron. So.
Right.
But I can, if you stretch it, I can see. Sorry, Hadley.
You know, this is the most divisive movie. To me?
I just found the information.
Yeah.
Some of my trivia that I found.
This is the most divisive movie that we've had on here.
Mm.
That's funny.
Yeah. Our chat is going crazy tonight. They like me. They like me snarky.
It's called Southern Comfort, Joe.
Yeah, Southern Comfort. And you don't drink it. Hey, one of the Cajun guys, okay, to tell you how out of the element was, Billy from Predator. I think the guy that got stabbed
Sonny
in the crotch.
Landham? That was Sonny Landham?
Yeah.
That was not Sonny Landham, was it?
He's in it. He's one of the Cajun guys.
Damn, I didn't even.
He's the one wearing
together.
The ball cap and the sunglasses and.
Well, let's just say number one, these guys go in. They like took their boats. I mean, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
You're gonna take all their P-Rows, leave one behind, and then you're gonna shoot at them, and you wonder.
Imagine if they would have took their pierogies.
You got a new name, Hadley.
Snarky. Okay, so what would we give this movie? We're going to give it to McSnarkies in there. What do you give it?
My snarky comment is I'm going to give it a 2 because it everybody deserves at least a 2. I have to have something lower to go to for next time.
Even but thanks,
for, yeah. But I apologize to all of Louisiana for this movie.
Scott, what do you give this one?
2.5.
Cool. Rich?
I'm going to give it a 2.5 as well. Like I said, I liked it when I saw it when I was a kid, but it didn't do it for me this time. How about you, buddy?
I'm going to give it a 5. No. I'm going to give it a 4, damn it.
Just you to make do up you.
For all if you'd like it, Alan, you give it a 4.
I do like this movie. And I know
I do like it.
I gotta be careful
and I can
what
see
I
why you like it. I mean, you like that brotherhood, you know.
I do.
Of delinquents.
I do. But they weren't
a brotherhood. They hated each other. None of them liked each other. That was the thing.
But I like I like Powers Booth. And I like Keith Carradine. I like their characters. Keith Carradine is always a good actor. So
this movie did make me turn on Tombstone because I did want to see a Powers Booth I could actually like.
Yeah, Al gives it 4 moves.
Which character was he in Tombstone?
Bushy Bill, right? Or
yeah,
Curly Bill.
Curly Bill. Yeah, he was the leader of the bad guys, and then he
okay.
The red fascist people. Yeah.
I haven't seen that since it came out. You know, I was shocked to find out how historically accurate that movie was.
That is it's in my top 5 favorite movies.
That is a good movie.
I do like it.
Yeah.
We're still getting boob talk on our chat.
I know.
That's why everybody's hanging out.
He did. He's got a sexy voice. I really like Powers Booth.
Yeah. You ever seen that movie where he's a B-52 pilot?
I don't think so.
And they get orders to attack Russia. Him and not Diane Lane, but who was in Risky Business?
I know which one you're talking about. Yes.
She was in Risky Business. They're co-pilots.
Rebecca DeMornay?
Yes. It's called By Dawn's Early Light, I believe. It was an HBO movie in the 90s.
Was that the one with Darren McGavin as the new president?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I remember that one. That one was disturbingly good.
Yeah, it was intense.
Oh,
original
man.
Red Dawn. Oh, that's right. He was the pilot.
Rip
right.
Torn, Martin Landau, Powers Booth, James Earl Jones, Rebecca De Mornay. Damn, I don't remember this.
I loved him in Deadwood. He was phenomenal in Deadwood. He was phenomenal in Tombstone. He's been in everything. But
off topic,
Con Air.
Was he in Con Air? No.
He had an uncredited role.
What was he in Con Air?
Was he one of the gods?
Yeah, he was one of the guards.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Are we talking about Powers Booth?
Yep.
Really? Man, I've seen that movie more times than I remember. Uncredited role.
He was in Stalingrad. What else? He did a lot of detective shows. Oh, he was in Red Dawn. That's another good
one. Red Dawn. He was the pilot that got shot down. Yeah, great role.
And we can't forget when he played Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Because he that was creepy.
That one got him, one of those roles got him a lot of trouble because there was an actor strike at that time and he continued to work. So he got blacklisted for a minute after he did that. And that's why he's not in, I think, as many things as he could have been.
Well, for some reason, I thought that he was in Swamp Thing, but I don't know why.
I don't know.
Okay, Jennifer needs a cold shower.
Mike Lewis was saying Top Gun Maverick was a freaking awesome movie. It was great. I agree.
It was good.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
Yes, it was, Mike. Ask Jennifer how many times she's watched it.
How many times has she cried? That's for that.
Well, she Jennifer, you want to tell them how many times you cried watching Top Gun?
I love all the throwbacks they had in, all the Easter eggs and all that.
Yeah, it was cool. Had. It was certainly better than Nope.
Swamp more boobs.
Well, I'm glad that y'all enjoyed it, because I would have hated it if I was the only one who liked that one.
Like what?
After I recommended it, the Top Gun.
Oh, it was good.
No, it was good. It was good. I was pleasantly surprised.
I haven't watched it. I'm not a Tom Cruise fan.
Not either, though. And it was really good.
So it's exactly the same movie as the first one.
Right.
But it's got...
But better.
Okay. I'll give you but better. It actually was better. A couple twists, couple turns, different missions, but it was good.
It was better because it was more entertaining, I thought.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I liked how Tom Cruise has aged into it. That was the thing that I really enjoyed about it, was to see just like the scene with him and Val Kilmer. You could just really, that just seemed authentic.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And they didn't like each other in the first one. Yeah, I mean, as actual people. But I think they were, you get over that, And plus his throat cancer probably helped a lot,
If you guys haven't seen the Val Kilmer documentary, it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was doing his movies, he would make movies of the movies. And it was pretty cool. He would carry a really old he had one before anybody else had one. It was a camcorder, and he would go through the movie and watch people and talk to them and interview them, and he has all those old tapes. It's really cool.
Was it those tapes that they made that documentary about the island of Dr. Moreau on?
No. Maybe some of them, but I don't know if he would do that, because that was a pretty bad... He got a pretty bad rap on that.
Oh, everybody did.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, Scott. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Cruise... when you see a Cruise movie, you know what you're going to get. That's the one thing. But like I said, my wife Tina won't pay to see Tom Cruise in anything. So we got to wait till it streams, or I have a good friend help me out. But she won't pay to see Cruise.
Well, he's a strange one for sure.
He is.
Which one are we talking about, Kilmer or...
Tom Cruise. Well, they're both kind of weird.
Yeah.
But Val Kilmer is kind of like artsy cool in a weird way. Yeah. Whereas Tom Cruise is like postpartum depression doesn't exist, kind of weird.
Yeah, he is. And what Jennifer says, she seriously went back in time just hearing the music at the beginning. Yeah. I love that they used Danger Zone. What's his name? Had written another song and they said, nope, we want to use
Kenny Loggins?
Zone. Yeah. And they said, no, we want to use your Danger Zone song. So that worked great. Yeah. I remember sitting at the theater watching that.
Well, this has been a fun episode, guys.
It was.
Agreed. lot of different and disparaging opinions.
Yes.
Oh,
and
my.
Some snarky ones, too.
Right? And Johansson's never seen Top Gun.
Snarky McSmart Pants. So.
I don't think Joe likes watching movies with rugged men in them.
Who?
Joe.
Johansson.
Oh.
That's because he's so goddamn tough.
He wants to look at the boobs.
Yeah, I mean, every guy that can't in the movies can't compare to Joe. I mean, come on.
Joe, is that what it is? See, Joe,
when you are the alpha male, you have no need to see the alpha male.
All because he showed up. No, that's the only reason.
Come on, I cannot take seriously an actor who jumps up and down on the couch and says he's in love. I'm just...
Well, he was in love.
Yeah, right.
The guy was in love.
Yeah.
And now he's not.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
He does make some good movies, though.
He does. I mean, oh,
he does. Rain Man was fantastic. And I did love The Edge of Tomorrow. That movie.
That was so good. Did I.
That was like Groundhog Day meets Independence Day.
Yeah.
He picks some really like off, like you wouldn't think that he would pick some movies to do, and then, and then he picks like typical Tom Cruise movies, like the Mission Impossible movies and stuff like that. I don't even watch those.
They were all right.
It's just not my thing.
He's no Jack Reacher, though.
You know, I saw him in the.
No, Joe. She wasn't. She wasn't a minor at the time.
Interview with the Vampire, and while I liked the movie, I didn't like him as Lestat.
I agree, David. Yeah, he was. It's an okay movie, you know.
Hadley, do you see the comment?
Love which one? Week. Love snark. Love next week is Snark Week.
That's what we ought to have instead of a Shark Week. Have a Snark Week.
Agreed.
Oh, that's a good one, though. We could have a lot of fun with that.
No Jack Reacher. You're right, David. No Jack. He's not Jack Reacher. The new dude they have is Jack
Reacher. He's Jack Reacher.
No. Perfect.
Yeah. 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 Dave. Days of Thunder was good. I love the sound of that movie. Oh, Legend. Ah. Yeah, Mona. That's a different kind of movie.
It is.
But that was before he got into Scientology, too, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a kid. He's in The Outsiders as a kid.
Yeah, that's right. They can, make that movie now.
Yeah.
But about 10 years ago, you probably couldn't make that movie.
See, I can't watch Interview with a Vampire because he's in it. And all the fluffy, puffy shirts. I can't sit through it. But I am going to try the new Interview with a Vampire series that's coming up.
Yeah. So will I.
Well, I think there's fluffy shirts in that one, too, isn't it?
It's got to be.
Yeah, but it's not Tom Cruise in a fluffy shirt.
It's like that Seinfeld episode with the pirate shirts.
Well, I watched him in American Made, and that was good.
I haven't seen that one.
That was a good one.
It was okay, actually.
Which movie was this?
American
The Mummy
Made.
Was terrible.
Oh, The Mummy
was
sucked.
Yeah, The Mummy was bad.
That's something I would have liked to have seen. Do well because I like those kind of movies.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Tony.
Tony, you're right.
If you haven't seen him in Rock of Ages, oh my God, you've got to watch it.
Oh yeah,
it's hysterical, and the fact that he did it was really interesting. And I did like him in Tropic Thunder. You know, the fact that he did that to me, it's like I said, he makes some interesting choices, but then he just ruins some stuff.
Yeah, Color Money. Yeah, that was another one. Rain Man.
That's true.
Taps. Taps, Greg.
Taps was good.
And I hated the one where he's a bartender.
Cocktail.
Wow.
Yeah. I hate, because there's no point to that movie. Really, you know? What was the point of that movie?
Money.
Yeah.
She missed all the boob talk. Sorry.
Well, he did do A Few Good Men, and I know we all like that movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But that's anything that he's not Tom Cruise in, I like, and I guess I just don't like him where he's like Tom Cruise in a movie.
You mean Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, that was the second best courtroom scene, the one between him and Jack Nicholson.
That was a good one. Have you ever seen that one where he goes to Mexico with some buddies and they're
it's like a, it's a teen flick. I remember seeing it when I was like 19, 20 years old. Maybe a little bit older. Or they go to Mexico. It's a, I can't think of it.
Well, he's in All the Right Moves.
Oh, well. Yeah. All the Right Moves. Yeah. What, are we doing a Tom Cruise episode right now?
Yeah, I know, right?
I was wondering, what the heck, man?
Oh, man, we're 20 minutes over.
Damn. Yeah.
Damn you, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I know, Ash. If it was between boobs or Cruise, I know what I'd pick.
Well, you remember Anne Rice got a whole page. It was Vanity Fair boycotting him as Lestat.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Remember
that. She took it back because she felt like he did a good job. But, I mean, like I said, it wasn't, he didn't fit my image of what Lestat was.
I've never met her, but I got a good writer friend of mine who has, and he says she's kind of nutty.
I like you on South Park. All right, kids.
Yeah. Tiny Tom. So, oh, no.
Yeah, you're right, Joe.
Family Guy with Tiny Tom Cruise.
You're right, Joe. I like him on South Park.
All right. So, Alan, you want to tell everybody what we're watching next week?
Next week, we're going to do time travel movies because we're running out of time. Time travel movies. Scott, your time travel movie is?
Time After Time with Malcolm McDowell and David Warner.
Rich?
I do not remember what the hell I picked. I'm looking it up now.
Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise.
Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow. No,
Tomorrow War, I thought.
Tomorrow
War, right.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Hadley.
I picked The Hot Tub Time Machine because I am that person.
Cool. And mine is The Final Countdown.
Yes.
So, time
What's
travel
the frequency
next week,
Guinness?
Folks. Huh?
Sorry, I'm answering a frequency, right. Please.
My earphones are bad tonight.
Frequency, hey,
please.
I didn't cut out once. The NSA must like me now.
Right.
He picked somewhere
that
in time.
That is a good movie, though. I did not pick it. I had to pick something fun.
Yeah, I've got some snark for hot tub time. Oh, well. Yes.
If I dish it out, I have to be ready to take it. I know.
Yes. I was disappointed. Damn, anyway. No one picked Bill and Ted. Oh, damn it.
I just can't even do anything with Keanu Reeves anymore.
Why?
Because there's like 15 Keanu Reeves people who have TikToked me on TikTok, and it's like none of them are real. And they are like, oh, you're a good fan. It's like, you're not the real Keanu.
Yes.
So when I start questioning them, they get mad at me.
That deep fake stuff is scary.
Fake.
No one picked Bill and Ted. Oh, I love Bill and Ted.
Oh, man.
So what you guys got going on? What you working on?
Scott?
I'm just working on The Chronicles of Paul 2, Errand of Mercy. My goal is to get that out a week or two before Halloween. So everybody will have a nice, scary read.
Nice.
Wow.
Rich?
I'm working on the Theory Series Book 5, and I'm still working on that Vampire in the Tank.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Can't wait to see that.
Hadley, how about you?
I am still working on the Kindle Vella that is going to be a book now, and hopefully we'll be getting it to an editor next week. The goal. Hopefully I'm almost done with that.
Nice. But
I'm kind of getting excited. I read my Little Red Riding Hood to Jen this week, and she liked it.
Good.
Is this the X-rated version?
Yeah, I got to read the X-rated. She's like, you wrote that? I said, why does everyone seem so surprised?
Grandma, what big? No, I won't go there.
We go back in the feed.
So do y'all have big plans for Labor Day? Anything
no.
wild and crazy going on?
No nope.
Barbecue and drinking beer? What's going on?
No.
Hopefully Saturday, I get sleep.
Saturday, I'm going to go down to Exeter, New Hampshire. It is the 5th, I don't know, 19, on September 3rd, 1965, a UFO was discovered over Exeter. And it's considered one of the one of the premier UFO sightings because two local deputies saw it up close and reported it. So it's got more credibility than a lot of the other ones. So they're having a big festival down in Exeter this weekend. I'm going to go and check it out.
You know why he's going? He's going for the probing. Yeah, oh, they have a probing.
Are you going to have a booth?
No, I'm going to check and see what it looks like. And if there's authors there, I'm going to ask them how they're doing. If it's successful, if people like it, then I may bring Operation Majestic next year.
There you go.
Now, everybody's doing all these great suggestions of movies now. Time Bandits. Love that movie.
Time Bandits is a great flick.
Yes, it is.
We should do a John Cusack festival.
We should.
Sometime. We can do that.
Do a crazy John Cusack night. That'd be great. Well, I guess, are we going to cut loose? Or anybody got anything? Hey, I'm reading your book right now, The Ghost of Maria Doria.
Oh,
Scott, I am enjoying it. So
good. Thank you.
A review will follow.
Definitely. Thank you.
Check it out. If you want a ghost story, good ghost story, Scott Maria Doria.
How would you know, Af? Better Off Dead is a classic movie.
Yes, I love that one.
Well, that's isn't he in Hot Tub Time Machine, people?
Yes, he is. That's a different John Cusack, though. It's not the John Cusack of those movies. You know what I mean? So that's why I was disappointed in that one. But I'll save it. I'll save it.
Jennifer, now all I've got is the Dean Martin song, King of the Road, in my head.
Well, it's got that, what is his name, Rob Corddry?
Yeah, Rob Corddry.
He cracks me up.
He's hilarious.
I know.
He's hilarious.
All right. We lost Rich.
We did.
Where did Snakebite go?
I don't know.
I guess NSA he had an emergency 911. All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for this week. I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as I did. You guys are crazy in the chat, and I'm going to add Rich back.
Wrong button.
Hey, thanks for all the comments tonight, folks.
The comments are great.
It does.
I hope you enjoy it.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, I imagined it did.
Okay. Yeah, ghost boobs.
Ghost boobs.
Oh, good. Awesome, Dan Muga's listening to your book.
I know. Cool. I'm glad. David have to message me, let me know what he thinks about it, because I know that y'all really like his books, and I haven't had a chance to read one yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm almost done with book three and Radius.
Send me the name so I can get it.
The Radius.
It's called The Radius. It's fantastic. He's got three books. Outstanding. I'm actually kind of pissed that I didn't think of that, and he did. It was
science.
I got to jump in and read Dan. I just finished the Run series. I'm going to write a nice review on the books.
Thanks.
And now I'm just trying to jump in and get caught up on a couple of other books before the last one comes out.
Nice. Yeah, Mike. Hadley's book.
My book one, The White Raven Awakens, went to number 4 on the metaphysical fiction list on Amazon. So thank you for remembering to, or reminding me, Mike. That was really exciting for me.
Good.
That's awesome. Yes, and he finally brought Billy back in the third book.
I did.
Well, guys, it has been a great show. Again, we're going to wrap it up. We went over 30 minutes, but I think it's been a fun 30 minutes. So
yeah. It was good.
Yeah. Lots of snark.
Yes.
Awesome comments, too.
Yes. Thank you for the comments, folks.
If we take the snark,
instead of stars, now we're giving boobs.
If we take the snark out, it's only a 50-minute show.
All right, guys. Well, again, you will find us back same time, same day next week. We will be doing the time travel movies. In the meantime, you can catch us you can catch tomorrow night Weird Awakenings, and I'm not sure what they're discussing. Oh, no, wait. They're going to be off because it is Labor Day weekend. Excuse me, I have a blonde moment. All right. I'm going to shut up now and go back to my cocktail. And I will talk to y'all later. Have a good evening, guys. Stay weird.
Take it easy, everybody.
Have a good holiday weekend.
Be safe.
Happy Labor Day.